Oh, we're on the screen. There we go. All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission for May 20th, 2015. I see we have a number of folks in the audience tonight. It's like church. Everybody's in the back. Nobody's in the front row. So when we get to the appropriate time, if you've got something to input on a particular case, we will recognize the audience and then ask you to step to the podium and give us your input and your name and address and information. So with that, we'll take the roll call and get rolling.
Bennett? Here.
Burt?
Here.
Kaplan?
Here.
Peters?
Here.
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 Nice.
We had minutes from the last meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve the minutes of the April 15th meeting as submitted.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the meeting minutes from April 15th, 2015. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. So as I started earlier with my great anticipation, we do have a group of folks in the audience tonight. If you do have input, the podium at my left or right and your left. We are a recommending body appointed by the City Council to review matters related to site plans and zoning and the such. So with that, we will begin. Thanks. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, the first case before us tonight involves an area at the end of 53rd Avenue. It's a settlement of Pigeon Creek 8th Edition. You've already seen the preliminary plat for this area. Basically, you're looking here from Justin Court, which is on the other side of Century Heights 15th Edition. And then you're looking down toward the south and east. This is where Allison Drive is, and this is where 53rd Avenue comes and joins Allison. This is a settlement, Pigeon Creek 8th Edition, showing the lots, and then the topography is you have a ravine that comes down through here and another ravine or creek connecting there, which is one of the forks of Pigeon Creek. You have also 100-year floodplain is outlined. This is the FEMA drawing. There's another one that is shown here on the final plat that is different, but this is an area of study. And as a result, lots 12 and 13 will be required to go through a Lohmer process to see when or where this exact lowest build area is before a building permit is issued for either of those lots. You have entryway coming in off of 53rd or really off of Allison. And then you have Settlers Point Circle going down this direction. And then you have connectivity here with Pigeon Creek Drive or Pigeon Creek Trail. All these lots essentially are creating a cycle for traffic right now that will complete connectivity that we would need. It sort of creates redundancy in this area so that if there's emergency response calls that are needed, if one area is cut off, there will always be another means to get to the site. Staff in reviewing this proposal would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission. I have one or two, Greg, real quick. Number two, fire department requires a rolled curb for outlot A. Can you clarify, is that?
It's for outlot A and outlot B, and I'd also add that as another condition for outlot B. These are islands out here, and this is something to facilitate maneuverability for the fire department at both these locales. It's a design, a design standard that would allow vehicular passage in a much more easier manner, but Mr. Knorr can, Captain Knorr can elaborate further.
Okay.
It does make it easier for our apparatus to get through. Our preference would be no islands at all, but we have nothing that says that we can do that. So if there's going to be islands, they need to be rollover curbs to be able to allow an apparatus to get past another apparatus or a parked vehicle.
Okay, and so are those just solid concrete like the street that are slightly raised? Are they landscaped at all?
I think they would be somewhat landscaped, and then they'd be raised with the landscaping in the middle of the island.
And there would there be no street parking adjacent to those then?
That would be something the council would have to post. I mean, they would have to amend the parking ordinance in order to not permit parking in those areas.
But effectively, there's enough space left between the island and the
vehicular curb maneuver.
For movement and parking. Okay.
For movement, at least.
For movement, movement
we
and
don't,
parking.
I wouldn't go out on the limb and say parking.
Okay. I just know there's a couple areas in town where there's some longer islands, and it really precludes any parking in front of the homes, and it makes it kind of difficult for anybody visiting. So just as a developer, can you answer, is that what the design is in that? It's Mr. Kirkhoff there.
I'm Jared Kirkhoff with KW Development. Yes, the idea is to soften kind of that long cul-de-sac and break it up. But also, I'd like to point out these are large lots, and most of these houses will have side load garages with large pads for driveways. There'll be ample parking for visitors basically on their property.
Okay.
What we've complied, we've had discussions with Mr. Connors, and we've complied with what he's requested.
And they're not terribly long. They're relatively short, maybe a third of the lot at the most, right?
Right, okay. Right. And we as developers have looked at those lots and taken into consideration, you know, where driveways are going to come off, you know, so
okay.
we have an idea. Bob Walter is the other partner, and so we're the only builders in there, so we'll have control over where things go and where drives end up. And when we've designed that for Rebecca Meyer, we've taken that all into consideration. So,
okay. Yep, great. Appreciate that. All right. And I think that was it. That was my only question on that one. Anyone else in the council?
I just, for my own education, Greg, I'd like to, you talked about lots 12 and 13. In the additional work that has to be done. Connect the dots for me with that and the comment in your report about the letter of map removal from FEMA. Is that one and the same, or are those two different things?
The letter of map removal, essentially what it would do is it would state that the structures as they would be placed on either of these lots would not be in the 100-year floodplain from the lowest built. Essentially what you're looking at is 1 foot, I guess now the elevation is maybe 2 feet above the base elevation. I'll let Mr. Connors indicate that, because we've had some things or processes we're going through on that.
Yeah, we are considering maybe raising the minimum elevation above 100-year floodplain, but that hasn't come forward any farther than the discussion stage at this point in time. What they're going to need to do, because in designing the lots, they used a study that was done back in the 80s as opposed to the FEMA map. Well, the FEMA map rules, as everybody knows, when people are looking to see if there's going to be a need for flood insurance. So they will need to elevate the houses or get a removal on those two lots. And just so everybody knows, the elevation means that the lowest floor, including the basement, is elevated 1 foot above the 100-year flood elevation. So just so everybody knows going in, that's going to be the requirement.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Yes, sir.
I'm Don Van de Walstein, and I live at 5245 Schoolhouse Road. And Bob and Jared both built great houses. My question is, on the back of my property, where the curve is on 53rd, they had put a berm in to defer the rainwater coming through those fields to keep it out of the neighborhood. And I'd like to know if someone's going to remove that berm. It's probably 4 feet high. And it does look odd that there's a berm that goes to the street of 53rd behind my property.
To answer, you're talking about the berm behind your property that goes all along?
No, nope, not that one. The small one that the city put in to defer the rainwater from the field about 3.5-4 years ago, they put that in. So.
We're not sure what it is either. We're looking at each other. So the city would have installed that?
Yes.
Was that at your request?
Yes.
Because you were having a problem with drainage and on your property?
My neighbors were having a problem. It wasn't directly my problem.
Okay.
And that's how they solved it. But it just looks odd that that is there now. So the full berm across the back of all those properties is fine. That's not the problem.
Is it anything that we can see on any of the documents that we've looked at tonight?
No, not that I've seen on here. Yes.
Was that rainwater coming from the Hess fields to the north?
The fields, yes.
Okay.
The corn fields and bean fields, yes.
Just keep in consideration that these are going to be developed properties now. Rainwater is going to be captured in the streets, put in storm sewer, so that should be reduced greatly, but...
And that's why it was put in, to divert the rainwater into the storm sewer, keep it from coming through my neighbor's property. But I'm thinking that that small berm should now be taken out so it all looks uniform all the way across there.
That will be... currently, the city owns that property. When this plat goes to the city council, it will be deeded back to them because we didn't need it for the extension of 53rd. They gave it to us originally. So it'll be up to them as to whether how they want to grade it.
Must be.
It's on that area there. It's sort of right away.
On the south side of 53rd?
It extends over.
Okay. Having a sidebar.
Yeah.
All right. Work it out.
Worked it out?
Yeah.
All right, great. I love that. Good, good. Don, you happy?
I'm happy.
All right, I love it. All right. Anyone else in the audience? Seeing none, I'll return to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we approve case number 15-027, subject to staff recommendations.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 15-027, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. 15-027 is approved. Okay, Greg?
Mr. Chairman, the next case is Old Hunter Woods 5th Edition, which can be reached by coming up Valley Drive. This is Crow Creek Road. This is Criswell right here. You've Still Creek Pass right there in the area. It's shown right here, you Wooded Creek Lane, I believe, right here. And then you have... cul-de-sac connecting that area, and this is an enlargement showing the connectivity right here to Grover Station. These are the lots that are involved here. Nothing's really changed at all from the preliminary to the final, except that this area here has now been created as an outlot. This just gives you an idea of essentially the street going this direction. Everything sort of sloping down this direction into the ravine, and this is the other side of this ravine back here, showing that this area is pretty well flat, and then there's immediate drop that occurs at that locale. This is the final plat of Grover Station with the outlot that was created to represent where detention, stormwater detention, is kept. And then you have collection of stormwater off-site going to this locale as well with stormwater going from the paved surfaces within the subdivision into the outlot, and the outlot releases further on down into a creek system. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, recommends approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission? Not on the right.
I have one.
Ann, go ahead.
Greg, on the aerial photo, can you show us, you said the outlots would release further on to a creek further on down. Can you show us on there where that water's flowing? Okay. So that outlot is at the west side of the property.
It's going to be right in here.
Yeah, okay. All right, that makes sense. Thank you.
Any Wilson on the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Seeing none, come back to the commission.
Chairman, I move that we approve case 15037, subject to staff recommendations.
Second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 15037, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 15037 is passed.
Right. Mr. Chairman, we're bringing this issue back as it had been deferred before, but petitioner would like to place a car wash basically in this vicinity right here. You have your entryway coming off of Kimberly Road. You have Duck Creek Plaza over in this area. You have an existing subway right here. This was the original plan as it was shown with Long John's right here. This is when this was already in existence, and then the proposed restaurant was for Subway right here. And then you have a division right here between the lots of Murphy's First Edition. You have an access easement that comes right through this area, which guarantees access for this lot, and this is essentially the access easement area. This is the site. You approach it coming through here, and there's another Duck Creek entry right through there, the building pad being right here. And this is the excavation plan showing what will be removed in the area and replaced. Some pavement mainly, as there is no structure there right now. And this is the three-bay car wash. Previously, a four-bay design had been provided, but the petitioner could not gain permission to encroach into this area to create a larger car wash pad. So essentially, he's reduced the size. He's created a three-bay car wash with the facilitation of continued flow of traffic through the easement area, and then essentially traffic flowing this way for that three-bay approach. We reviewed the landscape plan. We felt that it met with our standards, and then this is what the treatment will look like, the exterior vision or view of the car wash as it's presented. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, recommended approval. I would ask, are there any questions?
So, Greg, one clarification on your reference for the easement. You said, and I want to be clear, that the easement is to the benefit of the property to the south, right?
That's to lot two, yes.
To lot two. So is there a separate agreement that provides for the traffic flow through into the back of Home Depot and all that at the
No, there
east
is not.
Side? But that's just
we tried to find some indicator, and there is no continuation of an easement within this area here. And we didn't see anything within the Duck Creek agreements when the redevelopment was occurring. We didn't see anything within the platting that would indicate that there is access permitted through here to that locale over here. And after doing that, seeing what various plats have been conducted and for Murphy's First Edition and other site plans, we couldn't find any trace of any connectivity.
Okay. One other question on the current site plan. There's some curb showing up within the easement area. It appears a little bit of curbing. I don't know what, yes, right there. Does that infringe on the easement area? Or
I think when we looked at it, we thought it would pretty much be flat. Isn't that correct, Bill? We thought that?
There again, a minor encroachment that doesn't impede access in and out. Probably better to have a curb there so people don't ease over into the building. Staff didn't really have an issue with that.
Okay. Well, as long as it doesn't cause the developer an issue with the encroachment of the improvement. So, any other questions by the commission?
Just that one. What is the material of the building? Is it concrete block, brick?
Yes, it'll be a rock-faced block with matching mortar, and then aluminum for the rest of the metalwork on the building.
Thank you.
Is that, can I ask you while you're up there, Reed, is that a 24-hour operation, self-serve? What is that?
It'll be open 24 hours, yes.
Okay.
And is it self-serve or automated or a combination?
It's self-serve.
Okay. Anyone else in the commission?
I'd like to just have some theoretical discussions, I guess, about the easement issue between this property and Duck Creek. Because there's not any agreement in place, could either the car wash property decide that they don't want to continue access through that point and close it, or vice versa, could Duck Creek do the same?
In my opinion, it would take equal discussion between the subway and the owner of the car wash to close that off, because they both have a use of that easement. I don't know if, because it's been utilized for a number of years, if it becomes something that can still be utilized by Duck Creek or not. I might defer to the city attorney on that.
Well, and it is, I mean, it is possible to establish an easement by continued use over time, but I don't know that that would be applicable here. I guess I don't know how long it's been used by them. So it's possible, but I would say, you know, since Subway and the car wash clearly are the beneficiaries of that access point, if they agreed to close that off, you know, they probably could. And whether Duck Creek tried to raise an easement by adverse possession, I don't know. I don't know whether they would be able to do that or not.
Do we have any sense, this is probably a good screen to look at, how the cars would stack and at what point would they block that easement? How many cars would have to be stacked in there before the easement's blocked?
I can go ahead and answer that. The two, the middle bay and the lower bay has room for four cars, and the upper bay has room for five.
Well, that would be a great problem to have.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
And I've spoken with the people that own the Duck Creek Plaza area, and they're okay with the building and the access easement, leaving it open the way it is. We're all in favor of having that access open.
I think this is definitely an improvement over what we saw initially.
Maybe a little toll booth there, Reed, you know, to cover some.
A little gate.
Yeah, yeah.
Use the car wash tokens for
yeah,
toll.
There you go.
Or get a car wash, you get a free token for the toll.
Yeah, yeah. Anyone else from the audience with regard to this case? That will come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve case 15-12, the site development plan for 1801 Kimberly Road as submitted and subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 15-012, subject to staff recommendations. Any discussion on the motion? Yes. Thanks for the effort to redo it. I think it came back with a much more workable plan, and it's another example when staff and the developers get together, we usually can come up with a reasonable result. So thank you, both of you, for those efforts. So thanks. Any other discussion on the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. 15-012 is approved.
Seems like a mere year ago that we started this process.
Is that all it's been?
But But it's been, in my opinion, a very good process. I think we've got a lot of input from boards, commissions, councils, general public, staff input. That was really a focus of this, that we wanted to have the plan represent what we all wanted. And hopefully we're at that point. So we'll just, you all know this insight now, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But I think it is important that we go through and just touch on some of the high points. And hopefully we can get a positive recommendation for adoption by the City Council. And then start on with our update of the zoning ordinance. So here's just a handful of all the people that had great input in this. The final plan had an introduction, seven chapters, and an appendix, and that was put online a couple of weeks ago. I hope everybody had a chance to go through it and look at it. We went as staff back and forth looking at the land use map, and consultants going back and forth, taking typos out and everything. So we think this is a pretty clean copy that is online right now. Basically, the introduction just says this is an exciting time for Bettendorf. We're growing like a weed. And just to remind everybody, the role of the comprehensive plan, it's a shared vision for the future, and we certainly focused on that. Guidance for decision makers, and that's you all. And then the legal basis for land use regulations. So some of the strengths that were identified: family friendly, great recreation opportunities, fantastic leadership. And challenges: downtown on the riverfront. And one thing that came out of it, it's hard to retain and attract young adults. So that's one thing that we tried to focus on with this plan, to try to make it a little bit more millennial friendly, I think. Trends and opportunities. Obviously, we're going to continue to grow. We want to do that in an orderly fashion. Change to the city's core, the I-74 bridge project. If you've been downtown, you can see that the grade level work is in full swing. And actually, it's kind of exciting to see that. I think it's kind of neat. And premier city, enhancing quality of life and community identity. And we certainly covet that as residents of the city of Bettendorf. One of the things that they looked at was past and proposed population growth. At a moderate growth level, which is what our consultant said, statistically we could probably expect, we'll look at growing 1% a year. So when we hit 2035, we'll be about 43,632 people, give or take. If we grow a little faster than that, at high growth, we could hit almost 49,000 people. So good problem to have, except for the school districts. And here's the goals and the plan organization. Chapter one is growth, land use, and transportation. Two focuses on the downtown and riverfront. Three on economic development. Chapter four on housing. And one of the things we looked at, we want to be able to reinvest in our existing neighborhoods. We have a lot of nice housing stock, but maybe not to the desirable level that current people want it. They have one car garage, maybe one bathroom. So as we go through this rewriting of the zoning ordinance, we're going to try to look at ways that we can maybe relax some of these requirements and allow people to maybe improve those properties to where they become more desirable for young families moving into. Quality of life, that seems to be easy for us in Bettendorf, and protect and maintain. That's another thing we do very well. Here's our plan process. Did you pull this up off of the webpage?
No.
Because I think this is more than I This might be more than I put in a presentation, so if it is, we can zip through this quicker.
Or order pizza, one of the
two. We're not working on the second year here.
Okay.
So I've incorporated some of the other plans that the city has done over the past several years, which is transportation plan, Interstate 74 reconstruction plan, which is basically the interchange justification report, Parks and Recreation master plan, multi-jurisdictional hazard mitigation plan. Mayor Gallagher, when he took office, had some community listening sessions, and downtown master plan and comprehensive trails master plan. So those are just a few of the plans that are incorporated into this. Okay, land use and transportation. Recommended actions basically in a chapter: preserve sensitive natural areas, promote natural stormwater management, and Brian Schmidt is currently looking at rewriting those ordinances. So we'll incorporate some of these things into the new ordinance rewrite. Take a density approach to land use, and that's basically what this plan does. Use the future land use map to guide all future decisions. We certainly expect to do that. Use the annexation map and a 7-point annexation strategy to guide annexation decisions. We're not at that point yet. Ensure street connectivity, provide multimodal transportation. So okay, the foundations of the growth of the land use is connectivity and walkability, variety uses and mixing uses, which we our current ordinance and current land use plan did not endorse. Incorporate nature into things, provide open spaces. When we talk about civic centers, we're talking about as people progress through the city, there are areas that have kind of a common theme that they can relate to. Safety, obviously, and character. Let's try to build some additional character into our neighborhoods by way of parks and maybe some city services. These are some of the neighborhoods today, existing ones. Here's our existing land use map, and that's basically incorporating some of the new uses that are contained in our new land use map also. Growth potential. This is what came out of our study by Gruen and Gruen. It looked at how we're going to grow in the future, what our current trends were, and what future trends are predicted to be. 2035, we'll have roughly 8,000 new residents, 3,800 new housing units. 65% of that will be low density, 15% medium density, 20% high density. And basically they're saying that for that need, we'll need about 990 acres. For commercial and retail, and also manufacturing, about 4,000 new jobs, about 42 acres of office required. Warehousing is something that they're saying is really a thing that we're moving toward in the future, now that most everybody is starting to do at least some buying over the internet, not going to a retail outlet. That segment is growing, and then retail about 43 acres. So 181 acres of commercial and industrial. So if we look at the predicted land need for the next 20 years, we need about 1,500 acres. Currently, what we already have in the city limits is 5,000 acres. So if we look at residential land need, and we can go to the next I thought I was going through this way too slow. That was not the presentation I put together, so bear with me. So in our land use plan, basically we've come up with development character areas known as DCAs. And basically what the development character area does, it integrates and mixes some uses. It controls the intensity. It looks at the compatibility. And it looks at the form of how development will take place. So here's our future land use map. Got the land use categories that are industrial, recreational, business park. We added a segment called neighborhood commercial that wasn't in the original go-around of the map. That integrates a little better with some of the neighborhoods. We got community commercial. We've got urban high intensity, urban medium intensity, urban low intensity, and then your can't read it, but hopefully you can. So as we look at these, the way they're laid out, they've got brief descriptions for each one. We've got more thorough descriptions that are contained in the plan for each area. But it looks at, from a residential density standpoint, it shows you the number of dwelling units per acre. So that's going to be fairly easy for staff to take a look at if somebody comes in with a proposal, that they're within the guidelines of the number of dwelling units per acre allowed on that property. Non-residential intensity range. You look at the FAR, that's floor area ratio. So the floor area ratio for low intensity for commercial would be 0.25 to 0.5 of the area. So if you integrate these things, you come up in urban medium intensity, your floor area ratios go up, your dwelling units per acre go up. Same thing with the urban high intensity. We've got some descriptors that are in here. Basically, these are examples. As we look at this, everything that comes before us doesn't have to look exactly like this. This is basically to show what a proposed ULI UMI and UHI would look like, and how to buffer those areas with distance and backyards. But that's everything doesn't have to look exactly like this as it comes before us. Important points about the development concept, future land use map. Basically, the transition of the properties from their current use to depicted use is expected to occur slowly over time in response to the market demands. Obviously, we all know that residential precedes the commercial. And so these things, more than likely, we'll see somebody come up with a concept plan that will show a progression of different uses. Basically, the generalized map is what I think we were asking for. Boundaries between land uses on the map are fuzzy lines and are meant to show approximate areas for transition rather than rigid boundaries. The exception to this, of course, is the environmental conservation areas. We don't want people nibbling into those. And it will be the basis for land use decisions. So anybody wants to comment as we go, feel free.
No, I would like to just make it. Ask a question, maybe. Maybe it's a comment.
Yep.
The boundary areas with these DCAs, the within those different DCA, within those areas, you have a mixture of commercial and residential. I think what we have to understand is that if somebody's developing a piece of property, it could very well influence the future of adjacent property. Today we have a kind of a boundary, you know, this is commercial, this is residential. In the future, under this plan, if somebody puts in residential, single-family residential, right up to that line, that fuzzy line, that means that now maybe next to that, that's no longer commercial, that might be, you know, high-density residential or something of that nature. And I think that's, as long as that's understood, I think we're fine. It's just that, you know, we don't have that protection, if you will, of drawing a line in the sand and saying this is commercial and this is residential.
And this is my opinion, and I'm trying to think forward as some of the things might come up. Obviously, if you have residential and you're transitioning into a higher intense use, from a staff standpoint, we're going to want you to maybe start to go to a denser type residential, albeit maybe 12 plexes or maybe the townhouse type development, and then make that transition. I think if somebody owns the entire parcel of property, let's say an area here that has several different uses, in my opinion, those lines, and he wants to plan the whole thing and develop the whole thing, I think those lines become a little blurrier, because then he can, to your point, Paul, he can plan those transitions from one land use to another. But yeah, we have to be cognizant that the first guy in or doesn't trip up the next guy that needs to develop. So I think that's a perfect point.
And following what Paul's saying, we are more apt to see the small parcels, not the big parcels. To have somebody come in and develop an area as large as you just outlined on that map, we don't see that very often. It's just one part at a time.
Right. Not very often at all, I agree.
Right.
It's I don't know how we do that. You know, we haven't done it very well in the past, where we've had different developers, people change hands, property changes hands, plans change, and so you end up with not the grand scheme that we wanted to begin with, and we end up with something not quite it. So I don't know where that discipline sits to say to developers, this is what we want. You know, I don't know where that is. I don't know if that's here. I don't know if it's with the city. I don't know if it's with the developers. You know, I don't see it with us right now, right? And so this is why I'm a little concerned about something. I like this. I'm firmly in favor of this, but it's just somehow we need to develop that discipline within our community that we can tell developers this is the way it's going to be.
No, I agree. I think we can work with this. I like the concept. I've always been frustrated in the past if you were showing a certain use here and a certain use maybe next to it, and everything was relative to exact property lines. I never could understand the difficulty with what's the shape of it. It's showing that we're supposed to have this use in this area. Why is it this specific design shape? So again, as people move forward and we complement with this with our new zoning ordinance and regulations, I think we can address some of that in that. And obviously, once the property's zoned, then it makes it a little easier to see where transition lines are going to be. So you're right, we're probably going to do small parcels, and we're going to have to be very careful that all of this fits into this patchwork of the land use map as we move forward. Well, I guess we'll figure it out.
Exciting days ahead.
When we start moving forward with development. Mm-hmm. So these are basically showing how the dwelling units per acre would lay out and how your floor area ratio in the commercial would live out. You know, if it's 25%, 50%, 100%, that's kind of how those things will look. And obviously, as your floor area ratio reduces, buildings automatically get higher. Downtown and Riverfront, I think there's a consensus that everybody wants to try and work through this redevelopment downtown and do some exciting things. I think we have some nice opportunities down on the riverfront when some of this bridge work gets done. One of the things that's being recommended is with our zoning ordinance right now, most of our buildings in the downtown are non-conforming uses because they're all built up to the right to the front property line. And I think for downtowns, you want to do that. You'd rather have your building up where it welcomes people in, creates walkability rather than having a big parking lot out front like we do at most of our commercial areas in the city now. Economic development. Implement the recommendations of the Bettendorf Strategic Plan. We've got a 2023 plan that we worked on and was that adopted by the City Council?
It was endorsed.
It was endorsed, but yeah, mm-hmm. Endorsed by the City Council. So that's one of the things we're looking at. Basically invest in the infrastructure so we can keep the infrastructure up with emerging commercial areas. And encourage redevelopment and investment in existing commercial areas. And we've been very good at that in the past. You look at the Duck Creek areas and Hy-Vee Shopping Center and the way they've redeveloped the Cumberland Square. That's really where we shine is redevelopment. I was just at ribbon cutting last week for the Hilton Garden Inn. So that whole area is redeveloped. So it's great success stories. We need to continue to do that well. Assets. Our assets are our positive image, quality workforce, location, real estate costs, new building inventory are important draw for the business community, good internal demand, affluent community, challenges, perceived lack of space. And that's one thing that I thought we were starting to run out of lack of development space until actually we looked at the available land that was that we currently had within our area. I think the farther north we get, I think development becomes a little more challenging because you get a lot more drainage areas. You have to work around those and implement those into any type of a plan somebody does. Bettendorf has limited commercial air service. Could be a drawback to some prospective companies. I didn't know we had any air service in Bettendorf. They must be referring to Quad Cities. And an aging workforce. One-third of Bettendorf's population will be age 55 and older by 2019. So, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, but maybe that will spur, as we start to drop out of the job market, maybe that'll bring more younger people back into the area. We're looking at projected job growth and type of space in Bettendorf. We're looking at, and these, some of these, I don't know where the numbers came from. Looking at adding, I'm having a hard time reading this, 1,827 jobs for office. We're going to lose probably 140 in manufacturing, predictable. Adding 600 for warehouse and distribution. Tick over 600 on retail for a total of 4,040 jobs. Future employment-driven building space demand within Bettendorf from 2014 to 2034. Office is about 450,000. Demand in acres of 42. Warehouse and distribution is about double that, a little over 1,000. And then your retail, 471,000. So what I do is I look at these numbers and I divide them by 20 to see what we might expect in a year. And so for the Office of Retail, maybe 24,000 square foot a year on the average over 20 years. Warehousing would be about 50, so.
Not big numbers.
No, they aren't. They are huge numbers. And talking to some of the commercial real estate people, they say, well, in the Quad Cities, we get about, and this is Quad City area wide, about 124,000 square foot retail building a year. So that, and a lot of the statistics grew and grew and got from this were from the chamber study that was done Quad City wide. So housing, I think we touched on this. We want to help stabilize the older neighborhoods, support reinvestment in housing stock, and we can do that by looking at our ordinances. And that's a point here, revise the city codes. Consider incentivizing housing options that serve unique needs of the seniors. Increase a variety of housing options for the residents. And we're real good at single-family homes. We're starting to see maybe some diversification. We're getting some apartments. We've got a townhouse development that's being developed currently. So we are starting to see some different types of developments. I've talked to some builders recently that want to downsize lots and maybe build houses in a $250,000 range, which is a market that we currently don't have. So that all fits in with the diversity that we're trying to create here with this plan. Today's housing mix in Bentendorf is about 73% single family, 8% what is going to be basically townhouse and duplexes, and 19% multifamily. The expected mix for new housing is going to be less, down to about 65% of our housing is going to be single family. We're going to see more of the duplex and a townhouse type development. I think both from a land availability and affordability aspect, and our multifamily is going to stay pretty much about the same from 19 to 20. So that segment of the townhouse duplex type development is what's probably going, we're going to see more of in the future.
So what would you put the separated townhouse condo, the smaller townhouses that are now separated from each other, where would we put those in that? Is that a townhouse or is that a single family home?
Are you talking about maybe the row houses?
Well, the ones we've been seeing maybe in the fountains that are smaller.
Oh, those
now they're
duplexes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, my opinion, I think we've hit the saturation point on the duplexes. Everybody's wanting to do the standalone. It's like taking a duplex and taking a chainsaw and cutting it in half and sliding it apart. That's
right.
That's what Jeff Seitz has been doing over in Windham Hills. We're all familiar with Dan Dolan's efforts over this past year to try and do these single families. So, but economy of scale is always when you can share building components like walls and roofs and stuff like that. So that's what brings the price down. Land prices, what takes the price up? So I don't know. Is that the question you asked, basically?
I just wondered if that vision for that condo, townhouse, that middle range was more of those separated condos, the ones that we've been seeing, you know, the little, the
yeah,
small ones that are really just the condo separated, or if it was the true condo or townhouse,
yeah,
where they're sharing walls.
Basically, I don't know, all I can say is that they are what they are. Community character, enhance the character of city streetscapes, invest in placemaking elements for Bettendorf's activity centers. Basically, the common theme as you go through town, implement the trails plan. We've done a good job of that. Acquire new park land, and Christine and I have been in discussions maybe how we incorporate that into the ordinance as to when somebody comes in to develop so many acres of ground that they give up maybe a half acre of parkland or something. I think that's something that we like to do to create neighborhoods rather than just streets and rooftops. Acquire new park land, we've done that. Basically, we're looking at updating the parks plan. They just did a facility study, and that was discussed last night at the city council meeting. So always been very proactive on the parks. So that's just kind of an overview of some of the stuff that's in there. Any comments? Or I just want to thank everybody that has dedicated a lot of time to this, because I know it's been a big project, and we'd like to get on to the next phase.
It's really hard to imagine when you started that the quality of the end work product would be so great. It's I think really well defined and says a lot about our community that we have a plan of this caliber. Now comes the fun stuff.
I just have to say, from the standpoint of working with RDG, and this isn't a commercial or an advertisement, Paul, you sat through the interviews, and they came in, I think, $146,000 for this thing. We used the living daylights out of them. Matter of fact, probably a little more than what they counted on to begin with. And when this is done, they owe us copies for everybody that we'll make sure you get when the city council adopts it. So I'm very happy with the product we got, Paul. I think we made a good choice.
I think it was an excellent choice. I salute you and your staff for sticking with this. This has been, I'm sure, a very intense effort, and I think it shows. I think that there, if you look at this compared to what we had, there's a night and day difference. Mm-hmm. And this is really, I think, a plan that we can live with. And I think this is an excellent effort.
Everybody involved really helped make this what it is. So I don't have any formal piece of paper, but if this Planning and Zoning Commission finds it appropriate, if you'd like to make a recommendation to the City Council.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we forward this on, this comprehensive plan on, with our recommendation that it be adopted.
I'll second that.
Yep.
Okay,
I'll third it.
We have a motion and a second to move forward the comprehensive plan for City Council review and ultimate, hopefully, adoption. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Please pass it on. And again, I think to mirror what has already been said, one of the things that impressed me was it started in the beginning with the RFP and a good venting of the providers to look at it. And then the community involvement was, I would say, extensive, starting even with high school students. It really took a broad cut of the community. And then we had multiple opportunities for input along the way, which surprisingly to me were well attended, even after multiple events. So even as it grew, it seemed like the attendance did. So I think you guys did a great job beginning to end, and the challenge also will be those fuzzy lines and things we have coming forward, and for us to learn how to work with a new plan, but the input on that. So exciting times, and thank you for your efforts. Anything else for the good of the order this evening?
Next agenda item is
this ordinance.
Attorney Stone.
Oh, yes, we do. That's right. And there is a slight correction on that, right? It's, well, I guess the new updated one was corrected. So it's case 15039, right, Christine?
The agenda is correct. Yes, 15039. So this is a proposed ordinance amendment relating to the downtown riverfront overlay, which basically covers 6th Street to 26th Street, which is the between Grant and State, the downtown core area of the city. This came at the request of one of our council members. The city of Davenport actually has a downtown sort of buffer ordinance in place among liquor licensed establishments. And so the proposal was to consider whether that's appropriate for our downtown as well, in light of the fact that we're going to be seeing a lot of changes and hopefully more development proposals coming. So the particular area we're talking about is right in through here, so point to point downtown Bettendorf. And the ordinance as proposed would establish a quarter mile buffer area between Class E liquor licensed establishments. A Class E liquor license is for carryout liquor, so it doesn't regulate on-premise consumption, so it wouldn't regulate bars, taverns, restaurants, anything like that. It's just carryout liquor. But it would apply to convenience stores, standalone liquor stores, grocery stores, even pharmacies. Some pharmacies have Class E liquor licenses, so any Class E covered licensed establishment would have to be a quarter mile from another. So as you can see, we have two existing within the area, but there is a little area here where it would be allowed and additional area over on this side where it would be allowed. But otherwise, if it's within that quarter mile buffer, it would be prohibited. There are lower levels of liquor licenses, so a beer and wine permit is not prohibited. So if a gas station did want to locate within the buffer area, it would just be a lower level of license that they would be eligible for, not the Class E hard liquor carryout license. So that is how the current ordinance is modeled. There was a question by the city council. We had this at a committee of the whole meeting. Do we want to just regulate Class E, or do we want to regulate all carry out alcohol? So do we want to also say beer and wine so that there'd be it would be uniform? I guess then it gets a little harder for people who may want to locate within, and then they can't have any alcohol sales off premise. So that was something that was kicked around. The council ultimately was comfortable with this concept, but I just wanted to raise that for discussion if anybody here had some of those same concerns. And for that, I'll open it up for questions or comments from anybody.
Can you explain that just a little bit more? I'm not sure I got the gist of your last explanation on the differentiation between them.
So currently the ordinance just regulates Class E. It doesn't go down the line to beer and wine permits also. So there was a question of, are we comfortable with just the Class E, or do we want to establish the buffer for all off-premise liquor licenses? So it would cover beer and wine and hard liquor as well.
Okay.
And so the second map that's included, so the green areas are the lower level licenses. I'll try and make this a little bit bigger. So there's a few more of those.
And there is no buffering for that Class C license?
Under the current model, no. It would just be the red ones that would be regulated, not the green ones. And I think, you know, some of the fear was the standalone liquor stores and the carry out hard liquor establishments, and that, you know, those are kind of the things that we're wanting to make sure we're not seeing a plethora of in that area. And so this was a good way to target that specific concern.
Christine, would you say that those Class E licenses typically tend to be exclusively, that business is exclusively for that purpose?
Not always.
Not always.
I mean, CVS has Class E, Hy-Vee's Hy-Vee have Class E, Casey's has a Class E. So some of your larger convenience stores will have them, but then, you know, like the new state liquor mart that just went in, that has a Class E. So it's a mix of who gets them.
This is strictly for the Dr. Cod area.
Right. We are specifically focusing on that part of town.
It's fairly limited as far as the city is concerned.
Yes, mm-hmm. It is. So if somebody, you know, they could go up the hill, from Grant Street and locate wherever they wanted. It's just really the downtown core that we're regulating. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're comfortable with it in its current format, it would need to be approved before the City Council could consider formal adoption of the ordinance amendment.
Well, then, I'll move that we approve case number 115-039.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 15-039. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Approved for recommendation to proceed.
Thank you.
Are we to commission update?
Mr. Chairman, subsequent to your recommendation at the last meeting for the approval of the Pegasus First Edition, the City Council followed suit, and that plat was approved.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order, then?
We're trying to put together a very compact group of people to maybe assist with the ordinance. Is there anybody that has any desire to do that?
All in favor, stay seated.
I would define you and Greg and Christine as a compact group.
It's probably not thinking
is, that. Is that, is
oh,
that a
that's
motion?
Too compact.
I have some interest.
Okay.
Well,
go.
we will certainly keep you informed as the process goes on.
Yeah, and I would participate as a travel schedule allows, but I'm kind of hit and miss on my travel schedule, so. Yep. Okay, good. Last call. We are adjourned.